Welcome to News Burp, the show that trawls the internet for news and burps its essence in your general direction. My name is Matt. Him over there is Adam.
Hello.
And this is episode number 282. And this week, we got stories about FedEx putting lasers on their planes. And a man has something stuck in his ear. And a woman sends drinks to herself because she wants men to think that she's more popular than she is.
Yeah.
And it's all on TikTok.
Yeah, it really kind of bugs me when I saw it. Like, there's massive stories out there, and I went, oh, you're such you're a wagon. And men are really under the kind of radar these days, especially in Ireland, with the whole murder thing.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, outside of Ireland, a woman was murdered last week. While she was out on a run. She was out on a jog or a run or whatever down the banks of the Royal Canal in Tullamore. Was it Royal Canal or Grand Canal? Royal Canal?
I want to say Royal.
I want to say Royal. Canal in Tullamore, it's only one of them. And she was strangled. And now it's prompted this big outcry for zero tolerance for violence against women, which is only right.
Yeah.
But what I've noticed is, first of all the vigils that happened all around the country was nothing more than people being like, oh, look at me, aren't I great? Because I want to call attention to this woman's death. And you're just hijacking this woman's family's grief. You know what I mean? Like, they're not going to be able to have, you know, a proper intimate send-off for this woman because they're going to be plagued by media and... Yeah, people with fucking camera phones.
Yeah, it's those people going, I'm doing my bit. I'm doing my bit. It's like, no, you're not. No, you're not. You're putting a picture on your social media. The whole thing of like, oh, she was out on a run. It doesn't matter what she was doing. She could have been doing drugs in the ditch. And what a guy should have done was went, I'm going to take you home, or I'm going to take you to the hospital. It's what the guy did. The guy murdered someone. Uh-huh. It's like, she could be doing anything. She could have been flicking her bean.
She could have been teaching a pole dancing course.
Yeah.
On the banks of the canal. And it shouldn't have mattered what she was doing, or anybody for that matter. And of course, there's men coming out going, well, there should be zero tolerance with violence against anybody. Yes, there should.
That's like, here's the black thing. Lives matter. Don't all lives matter? Yes. But black people are getting, they're being choked out and being shot for no reason.
I have to say, like, if I was going for a run down the canal, now that'd be worth a headline on its own. But if I was going for a run down the canal, I was going for a run down the canal and somebody wanted to stop me and try to strangle me, it'd be a fairly even playing field because you're two men.
Yeah.
And it's not a sexist thing. Like, we brought this up previously when we were talking about, like, trans athletes and stuff.
Yeah.
There's a physiological difference between a man and a woman. Also, there's a difference between a man who has himself pent up and worked up that this is what he wants to do versus a woman who is, you know, has her earphones in and is jogging along the canal and is not, you know, expecting anything.
Yeah.
But also, it's been brought, you know, not brought to light, but it's been brought into a lot of men's attention that women, their whole lives, have to kind of worry and prepare if they're out on their own.
Yeah.
They have to plan their route, you know. You have, you know, whistles and alarms and you're holding keys between your fingers and if anyone's walking behind you or if you see somebody ahead of you. And it's not something I ever had to consider. Maybe like when I was growing up, because we moved around a lot when I was growing up, so some of the areas we lived in were less than desirable. So the only thing I can equate it to is walking home late at night through an area that you knew was rough and you're on your own.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't experienced that in probably 30 years. So because of that, it's not in my thought process when I leave the house. But I do understand that it's in every woman's thought process. Well, I'm going out for a walk, so I need to have this. I need to make sure that the route is well lit. You know, am I bringing the dog with me? Am I going to be on the phone with somebody the whole entire walk? There's all these things. And when I was out yesterday, actually walking the dog here, because Blessington is a very kind of, it's not a built up area, but there's a lot of people here.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of houses. There's a big population. And at the same time, every day, everyone goes out for walks. Like, literally, there's never a part of the day where you go for a walk and you don't meet somebody.
Yeah.
You know, you'll always meet somebody, whether it's, you know, another dog walker, somebody out for a run or jog or cycle or whatever. There's always somebody. And in the last couple of days, I've noticed more women walking dogs than would have been, like, because you see the same kind of faces all the time. Yeah. So women who would have been on their own now have dogs with them, now have a male partner with them. If they're on their own, they're talking to somebody on the phone while they're walking, or at least pretending to be talking to somebody when they're approaching you, you know. And it's kind of, it's a palpable change in the era there. And it's a bizarre situation where half of society is terrified of the other half.
Yeah, it is. You know?
And it's, and then of course you get men coming out going, it's not all men. I'm going, yes, of course it's not all men, because if it was all women would be dead. Right. So no, it's not all men, but all men need to realize that even their behavior, while, kind of innocent to them, you know, take into consideration the fact that if you're out for a walk and you're walking the same direction as a woman, but you're walking behind her, like what's going through her head?
Yeah.
You know, That never would have crossed my mind before. I would have just, because you know me, I'm in my own world.
Don't give a shit.
Talking to you now, I'm like, what's going on with me? So that wouldn't cross my mind. But, you know, even to like, you know, cross the road, you know, to make her feel a little bit more comfortable, you can't really speed up and try and overtake her, because then she's going to freak out in a few seconds, going to take you to overtake her.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a bizarre thing where, like, you have women who are like, see, this is what happens, and this is why we're genuinely afraid to go out on our own or to go out in an area that isn't particularly busy. You know, we can't go for a walk, we can't go for a run, we can't basically go out on our own, whether it's daytime or nighttime, because this thing didn't happen, like, you know, in the dead of night. You know, it happened kind of in a still fairly light time of the evening.
Yeah.
And, yes, you got men coming out. It's not all men. All men shouldn't be. Yeah, we know it's not all men. Shh, that's not the issue.
Yeah.
Shh, that's the issue.
I've seen must have been on like some kind of Instagram thing or TikTok or whatever, where this girl was saying, if I got bit by like a poodle, you'd understand that if I say, I'm afraid of dogs, because I got bit by one kind of dog, it's like, I'm fearful of dogs.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone would try to go, yeah, okay, because you got bit once. It's like, not just poodles, or not just that dog. You kind of go, I just have a fear of dogs. And natural fear of dogs because I got bit once.
Yeah.
And it's like, get it.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't get it before. It's like.
But that's it. And it's like, I was that, because I spend, like, I've deleted all socials apart from Reddit. The reason I like Reddit is because there's no algorithm. Like, you control what's in your feed. You have to join a subreddit in order to see the content from it. So there's nothing being pumped into your feed that you haven't selected.
Yeah.
So that's why I like Reddit. But I was on obviously the Ireland subreddit. And of course there were some threads coming on, it's not all men. And immediately they get downvoted. It's like, that's not the point.
You don't get it.
Yeah. And it's exactly what you said. It's like the Black Lives Matter. Well, all lives matter. Yes, all lives matter. Yes, you're right. But that doesn't seem to be a massive problem with other areas. So let's just focus on the one where there is a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And then you have men coming in going, well, maybe we should teach people just not to be violent. Yes, of course we should. Teach everyone not to be violent. Of course we should. We should also address the fact that every female that you know has to consider things before they leave the house that you do. You know, because you have a wife and two daughters. So obviously this tragic event has probably been brought up in your house a few times over the last week.
Yeah.
And, you know, your two daughters and your wife, they're ever leaving the house alone, have to plan their route, have to make sure that, you know, somebody knows where they're going, where they've been, where they are. You know, probably have live phone calls going all the time, make sure somebody's there to pick them up and all this kind of crazy stuff. Whereas me and you be like, I'm just going out.
Yeah, I'm going for a walk. Where?
I'm going for a walk.
Down the ditches. What are you doing down there? I'm a man. I don't have that kind of weird fear.
Yeah, I'm just going to go wherever the road, I'm going to Littlest Hobo this year.
Yeah. Where are you going? I'm going to that volcano.
Mm.
But are you not afraid? Not it. of a penis.
I'm going to go up to that creepy house at the top of the hill, the one where all the rapes apparently happened. I'm just going to go check it out.
Yeah, I'm just going to pass through a few dark alleys and pass that walkway that's not lit. Yeah, that's the route I'm going to take.
Yeah.
No, I'm not bringing my phone. No, I'm not bringing the dog. No, I'm not bringing any kind of sharp object.
Yeah.
I'm calling my boxers.
And I'll be back exactly when I tell you it will be.
Yeah. When we'll see you. Whenever. Bye.
Be fine. Be fine. No problem.
Yeah. Don't worry about me. You don't bring your phone. No need. I'll be back.
Because what's weird is that if your wife went out for a walk and she took her phone with her, and then, you know, say if a walk takes an hour, and half an hour into it, the phone rings. You pick it up straight away, hoping that it's not something untoward.
Yeah.
So maybe that little moment of panic. Whereas if you went out for a walk and Tina's phone rang, there might be a thing of, well, probably not with you, but I mean, like, with probably with other men, it'd be like, oh, he's drunk, he's down the pub, we need a lift. That's the only thing that would cross maybe a woman's mind, that the man rang at a time when he wasn't planning to ring, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? So it's a thing. And now they're calling for legalization of pepper spray and mace and stun guns and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't look like this. As much as I think that, yes, there should be zero tolerance for violence. And obviously violence against women, because, you know, I don't use the word more vulnerable, but they are, you know.
Yeah.
And I just don't think throwing pepper spray and stun guns, because it's not just going to be a thing where it's, hey, you know, we're just going to make these things legal for women. They'll make them legal everywhere, which means now men have a way to further incapacitate women.
Yeah. 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 I think putting things in people's hands always kind of frightens me. It's like, you need to protect yourself. Here, take this. And then if that one was overpowered, I was like, yeah, I'll have that. Oh, yeah. No, he has my stun gun. Yep. Yeah. Into the van. It's like, oh, fuck.
Yeah. It's like being in one of those centres that takes in Christmas trees after Christmas. You know, all the real trees, and they're dead and they're brittle and they're extremely flammable.
Yeah.
It's like working in one of those centres after Christmas, and then somebody says, what happens if there's a fire? Oh, well, you just use this flamethrower. That's all you do. That'll sort it out.
Once you burn the wood before the fire actually catches, it's like, what? You get there first. You want to set fire to everything? Yeah, but in a controlled fashion. Yeah, it's... Oh, God, it freaks me out.
So I suppose what we're saying is, just don't strangle women to death.
Yeah. Hey, men, stop being cunts.
Hey, stop that, you sausage.
Unbelievable.
Anyway, that's what's going on in this country. And also, just while we're giving out and bringing light to stuff, people on social media should not be sharing all the images. Like, because there was a guy arrested and questioned, and all of his images and his address and his details about his family and his job, everything went all over social media, and his life is now ruined.
Oh,
he was taken in, he was arrested, he was questioned, and he was released without charge.
Yeah.
But by the time he was released without charge, his entire life was done. You know? And what made it kind of poignant for me was that the whole thing around Ashley Murphy and her murder was she was just out for a run. That seemed to be the line that everybody was using. She was just out for a run. And this guy, when the papers came to him to get his side of it, he said, yes, she was out for a run. I was only going to get milk. And now my life is effectively over as well because of social media trolls and justice warriors and keyboard warriors and all these kind of, you know, tick people.
Yeah.
Who think that they're helping when really they're just getting likes for their own fucking profile and their own drivel online have ruined this man's life as well. You know, in the meantime, now there's another guy in hospital now because he stabbed himself, you know, as innocent people do. And he's in hospital now. He's being treated in hospital now. So he's their prime suspect. But he hasn't been arrested because he's under medical care.
Yeah.
And they haven't released his details yet. But yet people still know enough that is still, and there's all the xenophobia as well. There's, you know, he's Eastern European, whereas the first suspect was Romanian, and it just seems to be, oh, well, it's all these foreigners. It's like, it doesn't matter where the guy is from. The guy still murdered a woman.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter where they're from.
Just get the individual.
Get the individual. Because also, you know, this individual, if he is the guy who did it, because he's still just, you know, he's a suspect at the moment, but they haven't, you know, they haven't questioned him. They haven't formally charged him yet. So if he is the guy that did it, he still has, if the details are to be believed, he has a wife and two kids. They're going to be affected by whatever happens about this. You know what I mean? But look, I don't know. Just, you know, just take into consideration the fact that if you're out and about, how your actions may affect somebody else or make them feel or whatever. And it's, you know, I don't know. Don't be a strangly bastard.
Yeah.
It's mad you have to say that, isn't it?
It's frightening.
It's just like a bag of peanuts having a warning, this product contains nuts on the bag. You shouldn't have to say that.
Yeah.
But obviously the warnings are there because some twat was a strangly bastard and eats bags of nuts. He was allergic to them.
Let's hope so.
Anyway, that's our cheery banter for the start of the show.
All right.
Okay, well, I think we should just kick off then, will we?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I'll cheer you up. I have a story. I went for an interview yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I went for an interview yesterday. So I've been applying for everything. That isn't hospitality.
Yeah.
So literally everything. So yesterday I had an interview for a job to be a delivery driver for a supermarket.
Very good.
I thought that'll be easy. Pick up people shopping from the shop and bring it to their house. Handy. So I applied. I won't name the supermarket because they're a share of cunts. But had the interview arranged. Sent off the application. Wasn't those application forms where it's a 16-page application online?
Yes.
No. To deliver groceries, Adam. 16 pages of an application, as well as my CV. One of those ones where you have to regurgitate your CV onto the application form, as well as uploading your CV regardless.
Yeah. So, do you have a C license? Yes. Can you lift things? Yes. Grant, would you mind delivering these out to people? Yeah, sure.
So did all that. Under all the questions that I don't think they're allowed to ask, but yet they seem to be asking about, like, you know, sexual orientation and gender and age. I don't think they're allowed to ask them, but they asked them. But I put like prefer not to say under most of them.
Yeah.
Except for religion, when I put Satanist.
Oh, very good.
Yeah. And under notes, there was notes for other. Because they obviously didn't list Satanist, it was other. And then there was a little box that said notes about religion under that. Again, which I don't think they're allowed to ask, but hell, whatever. So I put Satanist, and in the notes I said, I can present my membership card if needs be.
I got a t-shirt. That's my religion.
A t-shirt and a certificate and a membership card and a laptop sticker and everything. So sent that off. Because that was on page 15 of 16, so I was kind of pissed off at that stage.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's why I started taking the piss. Sent it off, didn't expect to hear anything. I got a phone call the next day to come in for an interview. I was told to come in and ask for the store general manager, as the guy who was in charge of the distribution. Because like it's a fairly big suit, like it's a massive supermarket.
Okay.
So I think they have like 5 or 6 vans on the road. So we're part of a team as opposed to just like the local guy, me just being the one guy or whatever.
Yeah, very good.
But the guy who was in charge of all the drivers said, go and see the general manager on Monday. So, okay. So yesterday morning I went over for the interview. I was told to go in the customer service desk and ask for the guy. That's what I did. And the guy behind the counter said, what are you doing here? And I said, I'm here for interview with the general manager. General manager not here today.
Ah.
I was like, but I was told to come in for an interview at 10:30. Who told you that? He said. And I said, the guy, I gave the guy's name who was in charge of the vans. Oh yeah, he's not here today either. Are you sure you have the right place? And I'm going, yeah, it's just this massive supermarket. It's the only one that's
I would have said, you're telling me the guys that I'm looking for aren't here. So you know I'm in the right place. You're telling me the people who work here aren't here.
This is the level of intelligence that's already working there, and they're questioning my intelligence. So what am I supposed to do? He said, well, I don't know, what do you want me to do? And there was this standoff of, well, I'm after driving 20 minutes to get here. And he's like, well, if you got a job, you'd be driving a lot more than 20 minutes. And I'm like, this is like a sitcom scenario, except it's not fucking funny.
Yeah, is this the interview? Am I being tested right now? Or are you, do you want to get fired? Don't want to have your job? What the fuck is his problem?
Yeah. So I said, well, can you tell the guy that I come in and, you know, call me or whatever? And he was like, yeah, all right. Now, he didn't grab a pen and go to not know anything now, and he just went, yeah, all right.
There was a guy here. Hey, what do you want? Oh, interview or something? Oh, yeah, I'm supposed to meet him. Well, he's gone home.
Yeah. And I haven't heard anything since. There's been no calls, there's been no emails, there's been nothing since. So I'm like, what the fuck is going on? And all these companies are complaining they can't get staff.
Unbelievable. Fucking believable.
Anyway, here we go.
Jesus.
So if anyone has a job.
Give this man a job.
I'll take once in a hospitality, unless it's a handy 9-to-5 hospitality job where I don't have to go out and actually speak to people. You know. Then I'll take that. Well, you know, just whatever. Office job, warehouse job, factory job. You know, I'm you know, whatever. Don't care. I'm just not going back to restaurants. Not doing it. Anyway, let's go do a show, will we?
Yeah,
okay, here we go now. Weekly weird updates.
News.
That's it. That's all we need.
Weekly weird updates. You're going to have to tell me where I need to go to fix that little video jingle. Like, is there a program? You're going to have to tell me, because otherwise it's going to be weekly was updates forever.
No, sure, I'm going to have to do it. I'll just do it.
Just tell me what app to use or what program or software to use. I can figure it out.
I suppose. Like, any of your graphics things, just chop mine off. Like, take the audio off that.
Mm-hmm.
Chop off my one and just snap on yours.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. That's literally what she said.
Hey, yo. Just take the audio off, chop off mine and put in yours.
A bit of a chippy chop. And where are we going to go? Okay. Weekly weird updates. First story. Lego is being sued for copyright infringement over leather jacket design. So, Lego. I've kind of gotten into Lego recently.
Yeah.
It's an expensive hobby. If I have one criticism on Lego, it's like, it's little bits of plastic. Fucking lay off on the old layer, €400 a gig. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But, my nephew does Legos big time. Like, he has like all the kind of Harry Potter, the castle, all the bits, because you get it in bits. And then another friend of mine, Mickey Joe, does like Legos, does like full streets of Lego.
Uh-huh.
So it gets like a post office, and then it gets like the church and all these, and just has the like, streets of Lego. It says, yeah, I'm a 30-year-old something, and I do Legos. Deal with it. And he loves it.
It's fantastic. Now, you can't, I've heard people say, I'm really good at Lego. You can't say you're good at Lego, because all you're doing is just like literally like page by page. It's all picture instructions. There's no text in it at all. So it's like you find the piece in the picture.
Yeah.
And you put it on the other piece that's also in the picture.
Yeah, but I'm really good at that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
I don't know if you noticed, but I'm good at that. So.
Like the last one I did was the Ecto-1 from the latest Ghostbusters movie.
And yeah,
it's great. It has all the moving parts. It's a working engine. Not working engine. It doesn't fucking propel the car. But it has all, like, it's moving bits and fan belts in it. And then there's like, all the radars on top and all that kind of stuff. It was, like, 2,500 pieces. And it took me about 8 hours to do.
Class. Right?
But that was also €250.
Jesus.
So I'm like, now it's just sitting there. So now I have a thing. Now I have a plastic card that I spent €250 on.
Jeez, that's a lot.
And one of the pieces was missing. Did I mention this last week? One of the pieces was missing. I had to send off and have it sent to me, which Lego would have sent for free. But I'm still waiting on the Lego, the actual official Lego piece to arrive in. So I had to order this piece off a random website. The piece itself was like 4 cents. And they're still making a profit off it at 4 cents. So if I can get one tiny tile for 4 cents, why is it costing me €250 for a box that Lego can produce for probably nothing?
I guess they think of what the end product is. You're gonna have an extra one. Oh, yeah. But the thing about Lego is that, like, you used to just get a box of Lego.
You just got bricks.
You just got it. He goes, now, use your imagination. But now Lego have decided, no, bollocks. We're going to give you the amount of pieces that you can do to make something from, like, pop culture. And you go, class. So if you were to break up the Ecto one, you go, what is it going to make? I don't know. It's not enough to make a gun. I suppose it makes some kind of, like, motorbike, but it's going to look like shit.
Well, that's it. Because, like, inside the instruction book of the Ecto one, was little kind of bits of trivia about the movie and the other Ghostbusters movies and all the gadgets on the Ecto-1 and what they were supposed to do in the movie, all that kind of stuff.
That's cool.
It is really cool. It's like the stuff that I wouldn't have known about. But then there's a guy who was the chief builder of the Ecto-1 Lego set. So he had to sit down and design this thing from all the existing Lego bricks that are out there.
Yeah.
Now, when I tell you, this stuff is nothing short of a miracle of engineering, especially a miracle of an engineering brain, because it can, like, if you when you open your Lego box, everything is divided into little packets,
yeah,
and all the packets are numbered. So you take out all the packets numbered one, and you work on the one section,
yeah, and that's probably like your engine.
But it's so now obviously it's trial and error. You didn't just wake up in the morning and just throw it together. Right, yeah. So it's a trial and error. Probably takes weeks to put together, months probably. But there was one part in particular that I put together in the number two section. All the number two packets, I put this thing together. But it didn't need to go on the car until I got to packet number 11.
Jeez, packet number 11.
But it had been integrated so that when I was finished, all the other bits of packet 11, this other bit from previous just clicked right on. I'm like, no, that makes sense. Because, like, if I had made it at the same time, I wouldn't have been able to fit it into the car.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's just like I just don't know how they figure it out. I do. That's what they do. It's what they're trained to do, and they're educated to do. That's what they do for a living. But in my brain, I'm like, but he had himself pictured in the instruction book, and his name was Mike, and they called him Mike the Mechanic, and I thought that was fantastic as well.
Brilliant. As you would.
As you would. Why wouldn't you? But the reason I brought this story up about Lego being sued for copyright infringement is because there's a Queer Eye set for Lego.
Okay.
Now, I have a problem, but I've never watched Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. Never, not once, right? This is not a homophobic thing at all. I don't know that Queer Eye for the Straight Guy needs a Lego set. Now, there's plenty of other things in the world that don't need a Lego set. I just don't know what they are yet because they haven't been presented to me.
You're going to go like Sweets and go, unnecessary. Oh, that's unnecessary. Barbie doesn't need that. No.
Well, it's just like some things don't need a playset connected to them. Like Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares. You don't need a kitchen set about that, you know. Or, I don't know, the Great British Bake Off. You don't need anything for that, you know. But there are sets for them.
Are there really?
Yeah.
And do the tent and all. I'm sure the tent is just like a tent.
Yeah. But I just didn't know. Look, because I just assumed that it was pop culture. And of course, Queer Eye is a pop cultural show. As some would say, it's a pop cultural phenomenon. You know, so why wouldn't it? But then again, I'm just like, why would it? Anyway, here's the story. Lego has been named in a copyright lawsuit over a jacket that adorns one of its minifigures in the Queer Eye set that it released last fall. That's autumn for everybody else. In the complaint that he filed in a federal court in Connecticut in December, artist James Concannon asserts that in 2018 he created a custom leather jacket for one of Netflix's Queer Eye series, which Lego intentionally replicated for its Queer Eye team set without seeking Concannon's authorization and without compensating him. What Lego did do, Concannon claims, was to offer him a free Fab Five LOP set, which retails for $99 for his 6-year-old baby son to play with, only to later revoke the offer, telling him that Lego does not give away its product for free. So,
okay. That's funny. Do a Lego set? Yeah, well, we don't do that, so bollocks.
Yeah. Well, also, right, I can kind of see this from both sides, right? Because yeah. I did work for RTE years ago, and my argument with RTE subsequently had me struck off the register for ever being contacted by them again. Because I submitted loads of written work, loads of scripts for a TV show, yes. And loads of it was worked into the show. And when I found out that I was the only one not getting paid, and then subsequently said I should be getting paid like everybody else, I was literally thrown a few breadcrumbs and told to fuck the fuck off.
Brilliant.
So this is basically what's happened to this guy, is that I don't think he was like, hey, that's not fair, I need to get paid. And, you know... For Lego to go, well, listen, you know, here's just lots of Lego, you know, just lots of Lego. And then for them to go, actually, no, we don't do that. Buy all the Lego.
It's someone going, that's like a middle management going, look, let's just give like £100 worth of Lego. And then a higher manager going, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. Tell him to fuck off.
As if it's his Lego to give away.
Yeah. Don't you give that guy Lego. No, bollocks to him.
Now, you see, the thing about it is that here's the picture on the screen of the actual jacket and the Lego version of the jacket.
I get that, yeah.
Right. Now, they're similar. They're not a direct ripoff. Like, this is what I think is known in the business as a legally sound copy.
Gives the impression that it might be the same.
It's a cover version of the original jacket.
A few notes are changed, so it's not the same song.
So that's the front of it. That's the back of it. So the back of it on the original has Time is on my side, time being spelled like the herb.
Yeah.
For some reason. Don't know why. But on the back of the Lego one, it says rebuild the world. On the front of them, there's like a skull, but on the Lego one, there's obviously a Lego skull. And there's a look, it's not similar. And if you were like glancing at it, you'd be like, oh, it's the Queer Eye jacket. Well, it's not the same. You know, but I think this is arising from a guy being slighted by a company, because as a designer, like, would you not get a kick out of being like, hey, the jacket that I designed is in the Lego set, isn't that cool? And now for the company to go, fuck you, pay for it. It's like, oh, I'm going to fucking sue you now for cutting out. I don't think you win, because let's face it, Lego have, you know, deeper law pockets than this guy's going to have.
I'd say so.
So if it's settled, it'll be settled out of court. But it's a massive, massive, like, look how many words are in this story, just because Lego, I still don't think it was ripped off, but, you know, there you go.
But I wonder, where does it start? Does, like, say for Ghostbusters, does Ghostbusters say, we'd like a range of Lego toys, so we want Ecto-1, and we want the abandoned fire station to be the other thing?
Well, I'm glad you asked.
Or do Lego kind of go, hey, Ghostbusters, we're going to do Lego. Give us some of your ideas and your plans and what you'd like and what you wouldn't like. Or we're doing this. Suck it.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because I looked into it a little bit.
Oh, yeah, good.
And apparently what happens is when a new movie comes out, all the merchandising rights are up for grabs. So you can get a license for whatever. So if you're Lego, you go in and you apply for the merchandising license for Ecto-1 or for the firehouse or whatever.
Yeah.
What Lego then has to do is they have to go and seek the rights from General Motors to feature the Ecto-1, because it's actually their model design. It's got nothing to do with Ghostbusters, really. They have to go to Ghostbusters. They have to go to Sony Pictures to use the Ghostbusters logo and the Ecto-1 design, but they also have to go to General Motors and go, can we use
the car,
the design of the Cadillac or whatever it is in the thing. So they have to, there's multiple license things going on there, right? But for the likes of like a Queer Eye thing, they would have to contact the designer to license his design if they were using the exact design.
Right.
But they weren't. They were using a lookalike. You know, which is pretty much like, you know, if there's ever been a cartoon in the world that's tried to rip off Mickey Mouse and they just make the ears slightly smaller, you know, Disney can go after them and tell them to stop that. But really, there's nothing they can do about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's the same kind of thing. Also, I'm just going to share with you, because I went on to look at the Queer Eye set, which is still available, which kind of confuses me a little bit because I went looking for Batman stuff. Of course I did. Batman stuff, a lot of the Batman stuff doesn't seem to be available. It seems to be discontinued. Now, I would have thought that Batman was infinitely more popular than Queer Eye, but then again, what do I know? So on the screen there is the Queer Eye Lego set.
Right. I don't know what it is. So,
well, it's the loft. It's the Fab Five loft.
Okay.
It's got the mini characters there of all the presenters. I don't know.
I don't know what it is. Is it a? It's not. So you're saying presenters? It's not a sitcom.
No, Queer Eye. It's like a makeover show. You have these five gay guys, five queers basically who are going to like make over either your appearance or your home or maybe the whole lot. Again, I've never watched an episode of it. I think that's what it is, like a makeover show.
Oh, okay.
And it was revived. It was a big thing years ago, and now it's been revived on Netflix.
Okay.
But of course, they all, you know, the thing in the show, I think, is that they all live in this loft. Of course, they don't all live in the loft. Can you imagine
fucking it's a chaos? Studio.
Can you imagine the chaos if five gay guys lived in the one loft together?
It'd be so neat and tidy.
It'd be an 80s movie, like Three Men and a Baby, except, you know, not as funny.
Mimosas at seven. All right.
but that's the set there, and it's €100. Or $100 or whatever. That's it. That's the whole set there.
Was that the set that this guy was offering to give to the daughter?
Yeah.
Ah.
And then they said, actually, no. Pay for it. We're not going to give you dick. now, apparently, even when they were making the Lego movie, right, the producers had to pay for all the Lego sets that were sent to them.
God.
So obviously, the Lego movie was all CGI. And it's done really well because all the CGI bricks, you know, look like Lego bricks, like they've little scuffs on them and they've little imperfections on them. I think it's amazing.
Oh, it's such a good film.
They had to pay for all that, and they had like tens of thousands of dollars worth of Lego to go through so they could scan every piece, so they could work out how to build lots of pieces. They worked with Lego master builders, all this kind of stuff, but still had to pay for the Lego, even though they were making a movie about Lego.
God, mental. That's some investment. Those guys are like this movie better be fucking good.
Yeah, there's an interesting picture here of a person building Lego. I say a person. My instinct was to say woman, but I say person.
No, you're not so sure. Like, they are looking at the set.
Well, again, I saw a hair bun on the back of the head. Oh, woman! But again,
they are looking at the set.
They and they don't look like a person who builds Lego. And I say that knowing that anyone can build Lego, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'd enjoy building a Queer Eye set. But then I'm not the target audience, you know.
No.
Like if you're building a Lego set for Queer Eye, you're not going to be interested in the same shit that I am in. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe you're just a Lego nut and you build everything they release. What do I know?
I just kind of want to, like, I'm going to say she for thing. Like, she in the picture looks like she's in her, I'm going to say, late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah.
And I wonder, what's she doing with it? Like, is she in the picture because that's the audience?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I don't know.
Interesting. I kind of get it. If this whole, if it's the design thing and fashion and all that stuff, I can understand if you get all those different tops that you can actually, you know, change the heads and the legs and like give them all different outfits. So it's not just the same character. I kind of get that.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I don't get it.
Yeah.
But all right.
Just to finish off, as for the merits of the case, lawyer and intellectual property researcher Mike Dunford dove into it. In addition to pointing to issues on the damages front, namely that while the copyright was registered in 2021, the use by Lego predates that, ruling out statutory damages. So he only registered his copyright after he found out about this Lego set.
That's not going to work.
That's really not going. That's like me coming out going, hey, that fizzy drink over there in the red and white can, it tastes like something I just invented.
I guess shows what you invented. Hang on. Are you just pouring Coke into your glass? Hang on!
No, it's not Coke. It's Matt's fizzy elixir.
It's Matt juice.
you definitely don't want a can of Matt juice, I can tell you that much.
It's not fizzy anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but it's warm though, isn't it?
It's cream soda.
Aw, in fairness, I love cream soda.
I do, I love it so much.
There you go. Some guy's doing Queer Eye because he didn't copyright his thing and he got slighted because they wouldn't send him free Lego. You know? The fact that he registered his copyright after they have the set means that they don't have to really entertain it. But if they do entertain it, it'll be settled out of court. But he'll never. What he's doing here is probably cutting off his nose to spite his face, is that, you know, that they're never going to call on him again to design anything. Not that they did in the first place. But, yeah, like, you know, they're never going to reach out to him. It's like what happened with me in RTE, and I still stand by my decision to go chasing money because everybody else got paid.
Yeah.
But when I did, it was like, yeah, here's some money. I can't believe, like, I was made to feel so bad about it. It was like, we can't believe that you're passing up this fantastic opportunity to advance your creative career. I'm like, but everyone else has that opportunity, but they've also got paid.
Yeah. I just want money for work done, please.
So, you know, a lot of errors went into that stuff and he used it. And I know it worked because I still have the recordings of the audience laughing at the stuff that I put in. So, you know, pay me, maybe. I don't know. Anyway, that's the Lego Queer Eye thing.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay, next story. FedEx asked the FAA permission to add anti-missile system to some cargo planes. Imagine how different the movie Castaway would have been.
I know. It's like, is that how things have gone? I was like, we sent some planes over in this direction. Can we just have some anti-missile system attached to these planes? Why, are you afraid of getting shut down? Yeah. Yeah, we are.
You see, the thing is that piracy has become a massive problem world over, especially during the pandemic. So cargo ships are being hit more, but also trains are being hit. Like, there's companies, there's rail companies, I think it's United Rail or United Railroad or whatever it is in America, is now refusing to go through LA because entire trains are just being looted.
Fucking.
So I get it for trains, and I get it for you know, road freight, and I get it for cargo ships. I mean, are pirates at the level now where they're hijacking planes midair, or people are trying to shoot them down? Because this would suggest, just on the headline alone, that FedEx planes have been shot out of the sky.
That's what I'm reading into it. So we need anti-missile things to, like, protect the underbelly of our plane.
Yeah.
So we can, like, cross through air.
Unless it's a preemptive thing. But I think if pirates start to shoot planes out of the sky, the government needs to do more than just go, you can have an anti-missile system on your plane.
Yeah, you just start attacking what's on the ground. I think it'd be a lot easier. Don't protect the planes in the air and have, like, a plane crash land on a village.
Let's just have some preventative measures in place.
Let's police the crazies, shall we?
Here we go. FedEx wants to operate cargo planes outfitted with lasers that throw off incoming heat-seeking missiles, according to newly published federal documents. In a filing of Friday, the Federal Aviation Administration indicated that FedEx had asked permission to add the missile defense system. The agency said that FedEx missile defense system directs infrared laser energy toward an incoming missile in an effort to interrupt the missile's tracking of the aircraft's heat. There's reason for concern. In 2003, hang on a minute, it's 2022.
Yeah.
So this is like almost 20 years later, you're like, we better address this.
Do you remember that time the plane got shut down? Yeah.
We better address it. We have to address it with the most rational thing we can think of.
And I love that the lasers don't seem to be kind of... This will kind of like set off the bomb. It's a deterrent. It's kind of like, it might yeah. work, but if it doesn't, yeah. I'd bail out.
Yeah.
Bail out of fucking where? The hole that the rocket leaves in your fucking side of your boat.
There's reason for concern. In 2003, a surface-to-air missile slammed into the left wing of an Airbus A330 operating for DHL just after takeoff from Baghdad. The crew returned to the airport unharmed. Okay, now, look, I haven't looked into this story as deeply as I did the Lego story.
Yeah.
But the FAA only regulates American air traffic. Am I right? It doesn't regulate world air traffic.
Possibly.
So, it's obviously, they always have to go to the FAA because obviously the FedEx planes go all over the world. So,
yes.
They need permission to have them in America rather than just be like, hey, can we have your permission to go everywhere with these things on? But I would have thought that was like, you know, I would have thought something like that would have been on the news. No, not everything makes it to the news. You know, if it's not American politics, it doesn't seem to make it into the news at all. Yeah. But anyway, in recent years, in several incidents abroad, civilian aircraft were fired upon by man-portable air defense systems. This has led to several companies to design and adapt systems like laser-based missile defense system for installation on civilian aircraft to protect those aircraft against heat-seeking missiles. So, if this is to be believed, it's an actual real-world problem.
Yeah. Now, I've seen a couple of stories of civilian airships being shot down, like, over the Middle East. Like, through either mistaken identity or...
I would imagine it's mistaken identity, but also maybe not, because these delivery companies tend to have their buses, you know, heavily decaled and heavily, you know, branded.
Yeah.
And also, if it's mistaken identity and you just see it as an American airline and you just want it out of the sky.
Yeah.
Okay, if that's what you want, then shooting it down is probably going to achieve that. But if you're a pirate and you're shooting down a plane, how are you going to salvage anything out of a fucking plane crash?
I don't know. I don't think they think like that. I think they think something will be salvaged. Hit the tail and we'll take whatever in the front.
Yeah.
Like,
I don't know.
I don't get it either.
Now it's regulars. Yeah, they hit. Well, that's the thing. Like, because this thing in 2003 where DHL had a wing hit. Like
heat comes from those engines.
Yeah.
And so if you've heat-seeking missiles, they obviously target the wing, leaving the body of the plane alone, and then the body of the plane just kind of crashes. And then if it crumbles, it crumbles, but they'll just take whatever is going.
Yeah. There seems to be easier ways to make a living. There must be a deli somewhere they can work at.
Have you seen is Captain Phillips? Have you seen that film?
Yes, I have.
I mean... You kind of think, oh god, it must be dangerous on those freighter boats and all that kind of stuff. Mm. But then you look at what the actual pirates have to do, and like they're on these little speed boats, mm-hmm. no life jackets, no nothing, and they just rock up to this massive freighter, and they have like water cannons being shot at them, and they're just kind of get your ladders, get your little rickety wooden ladder, and hook it on. And it's like, and it works. And you're going, fucking hell, man.
Because the thing about it is that I would imagine that pirates have more practice attacking ships than ships have practice defending themselves against pirates. And what I mean by that is, if the film is to be anyway believed, is that pirates it's what they do to feed their families. It's what they do to keep their villages going, all this kind of stuff. And it's wrong and it's stealing and it's terrorism and it's all that kind of stuff, but it's what they do to survive.
Yeah.
So it's what they do. So they already know the countermeasures the ships have. Whereas the ships, while it's very prevalent that they have to put up with pirates, it's like a fire drill, right? You might do a fire drill in work once a month or once a whatever, but if there's an actual fire, everything goes to shit because people panic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like a tiny fire. A battleship. Ship? No, put it out first. Put it out. It's a tiny fire. Put it out. No, a battleship. I've seen this before. It spreads like wildfire. Hang on. Shh, now it's gone. Oh, where are you? I'm overboard. Man overboard. Stupid Derek.
Now aviation regulators will hear 45 days of public comment. That's never a good idea. Before approving a system that emits infrared laser energy outside the aircraft as a countermeasure against heat-seeking missiles. So, when I read the initial headline, it says anti-missile system to some cargo planes. I don't think I'd be the only one in thinking that what FedEx wanted to do was put missiles on their planes.
An anti-missile system. I would have thought
because I'm not an aviation engineer, I'm not a war general, I don't understand the term. I didn't know that you could counteract missiles with infrared. I would have thought, well, to counteract a missile, you fire another missile at it.
Well, you know those, massive planes that fire flares, and looks like the wings are just kind of spreading like angel wings, or whatever.
Yes,
I thought like that's what they were going for. They fire like not as many, maybe just like 10.
The flares, yeah.
And the missiles hit them. But imagine if you had to just fly to the Middle East because you're a journalist. So you're just like a member of the public, and all of a sudden you hear this massive explosion behind you, kind of going, "What's that? Oh, heat-seeking missiles. Oh, those bloody pirates! Like,
yeah,
they're firing at us. Yeah, they think we have cargo, but we, you know, we're nothing."
Yeah.
Newspaper? No.
Yeah. And I imagine that if it was to save the pilot and the crew's life, that they would have worked the technology where all of these cargo planes just become drones. Just become drone flights. But I imagine they're more worried about their insurance costs.
Yeah.
Going up. So you know, can't lose cargo because then they got to pay everybody out for the shit they lost.
Yeah.
You know, that's just me being cynical.
I think if defended it was all drone, if you're a pirate, you wouldn't feel bad about shooting it down.
True.
Whereas I wonder if there's something they kind of appease to, if they're like, if, you know, that there's a human on that. You're going to say no. They want what's on board. They're shooting down because they want stuff.
Well, maybe they don't. Like what is a person in? Like, if we just go by the story, 2003. What's a person in Baghdad going to do with a load of Wish.com shit for some fucking housewife in America?
I guess they sell it some way, or they use it some way. Or else, why would they go for it in the first place? They must know there's something on board that they can use.
I don't know. I thought they were going to put rockets on the FedEx planes. That's what I thought. I'm extremely disappointed that that's not the case.
I'm kind of happy because fucking hell. I mean, our mate Paul Purcell, he's a pilot.
He is.
And I don't want to put that pressure on Paul. Like, should he fire? Should he fire back? You're thinking, no, he's just going to fire at rockets. He's not firing back at people. It's like...
Well, no, you see, because the whole thing is to counteract the mobile man-operated anti-aircraft missiles.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You know? See, that's when you need someone like me on board to make hard decisions.
No, because you're going, it's the big red button situation. You're going, dude, just press it. Just press it.
Yeah, just press it.
Dude, just fire them. Get them first before they fire us. Get them first.
So look, just fire. Just look. Fire indiscriminately. You'll eventually hit the target.
Oh, fuck. Four schools were lost today, thanks to pilot Mount. Yeah, sorry about that. Yeah, I thought they were like military bases. You're bringing passengers on holiday. Yeah, but you know you got to get in there first, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you're not first, you're last. And you don't want to be last in the missile fight, do you?
I'm not taking advice from a Will Ferrell movie. Not first, you're last.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Anyway, oh, God. I love that movie.
Next story. A man's 3-day ear clog has a most unpleasant source.
Oh, God.
New Zealand's Zane Wedding had a cockroach in his ear. The reason I bring this up is because literally like 4 nights ago, I had trouble getting to sleep because I had a pain in my left ear.
Oh, God.
And I was like, what? And then it started to itch. And then I started to hear like slight kind of crackling, rustling sounds. And I was like,
oh, no.
Is there something in my fucking ear? There must be something in my ear. And I was like, I'm not going in after because I'll first of all, I'll vomit.
Yeah.
But then I also have that like irrational panic of what's going to go into my brain.
It's going to hit me from the inside out.
It's a mind control slug.
Watch a fucking Star Trek. It's going to eat me and control me.
Yeah, and even if it's just like a standard bug, I'm like, eh, get it out of me, get it out of me. I can't stand anything like that. Like, so, and then when I put my stories together last night, I of course went down the YouTube rabbit hole of watching videos of people having stuff taken out of their ears or noses or orifices where stuff shouldn't be.
Oh no, I can't be doing that.
I'm just like if you ever came to me and were like, there's something in my ear, I need you to get it out, I'd be like, no. I don't care if it is a mind-controlled slug.
You're like, you're the worst friend. You're the worst friend ever. It's just not even any thought about it. It's like, it's not even kind of questions of kind of what do you think it could be or are you in pain? It's just, dude, I got something over here. Can you get it?
Nope.
Sort that shit out yourself, son.
No. Like, oh. In that situation, do you know what I would do? I would look for a grown-up.
God, I don't know if the grown-up was actually younger than you. Sorry, you 25 or older? Yeah, my friend has something stuck in his ear. Do you mind having a look? Do you have any medical training? No, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I wouldn't know what to do in that situation. I could just get a tweezers and tweeze it out, but also then when it's out of your ear, I have to deal with the still live bug. What am I supposed to? What about me? What about me?
What about my feelings? Jeez! All right, whatever.
Look, I'm a good friend in other ways, though.
Yeah, yeah. You know,
it's just when it comes down to when it counts, you can't count on me.
That's a soundbite. I'm a good friend, but when you want to count on someone, no. Count me out. I think you're fine.
Yeah. I'm a good friend for when you know it doesn't affect me.
I'm a good friend when I get something out of it. Oh, okay.
What's in it for me? I get to deal with a live bug after I take it out of your ear?
Yeah, you can
no
keep
deal,
it.
Man. No deal. You keep that shit to yourself. A New Zealand man who thought his ear was clogged with water for 3 days found out the actual, more unpleasant truth after visiting a specialist on Monday. A cockroach had burrowed. I fucking hate that word. Burrowed its way into his ear canal. So not just like, it's not just like rested in there. It's like burrowed into his ear canal.
Yeah.
He started to feel like his ear was blocked after going swimming at a local Auckland pool on Friday. The 40-year-old Greenpeace worker, that doesn't make a difference, tried using eardrops, then went to the doctor the next day when he found the issue hadn't cleared up. The water even seemed to be sloshing around in his ear when he was still perfectly still. That's what I had going on. There was something going on in there.
Oh, God.
It's not there anymore. It's gone. Whatever. If there was something in my ear,
it's dead.
It got bored and moved on.
Okay.
Or it's probably dead. Yeah, you're probably right. Probably dead. The doctor he saw simply shrugged it off as water blockage, though he did note some dead skin cells in his eardrum. The doctor syringed his ear, prescribed some antibiotics, and told him to use a hairdryer at home to dry the ear out. Did the doctor not look in?
Yeah, he's the worst doctor ever.
Yeah, so like he's like me. Like, I'm not looking in there. Here, have some antibiotics if you're going. I spent most of the weekend lying on my side and jamming a hairdryer in my ear. When I had to walk around, I would instantly be dizzy. When he reclined in his bed, he could still feel the water moving around in his ear. And so headed to an ear, nose and throat specialist the next day or on Monday, whenever that was. Yeah. And when the doctor looked in his ear, this doctor looked in his ear.
Yeah.
There was a new reaction. She kept saying, oh my God. You never want to hear a doctor say, oh my God. Like, they should be prepared for everything. Even if they've never seen it, they should be trained to go, don't say that.
Yeah, that's the worst bedside manner ever. It's like, okay, let's just have a look in here. And holy fucking shit, Jesus Christ.
Like, I remember when I was, I think I told the story as well, when I was having like, a thing removed from the side of my face here, I still have the scar. It was like a cyst or something.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it was like the third time I was having it done, because I had it done 2 times and it kept coming back. So third time he was like, right, well, we'll have to literally dig in and see how we can stop this coming back again.
Yeah.
And he was like, do you mind if we have a couple of students stand in? And I said, don't care, just fucking get it done. Right. Yeah. So gave me the anesthetic and was waiting for that to come into effect and all that kind of stuff. And he said, okay, we're going to start. We're going to make an incision. And I had to say, you don't need to tell me what's going on. He's like, no, this is not for your benefit. This is for the student's benefit. And I'm like, well, I don't need to run a commentary. I'm going to vomit or pass out. Or vomit and then pass out. And
I love the honesty. It's like, Doc, look, I'll be honest, I appreciate what you're doing here, but I'm going to fucking spew and then pass out embarrassingly. And my lad is just going to... I'm crossing my legs at the moment. I'm in a gown.
Yeah. So all I heard after a couple of minutes was, ooh, what's that? I was like, what? What do you mean, what's that?
What is it?
That's what I was like, huh? And he went, no, don't worry. I went, what do you mean, don't worry? you can't say, huh? And then go, don't worry.
What, the doctor was doing it? Went, huh?
Yeah. I was like, what's that? And one of the other students leaned over me and went, I don't know. This is my face you're operating on.
What do you don't know?
And I'm awake while you're doing it. Have those conversations if I'm knocked out. If I'm knocked the fuck out, have all the conversations. Have a conga line going through the theater. I don't care.
Yeah, see, this is why I close my eyes in everything. Like when I'm in the dentist, I close my eyes. Even though they put the goggles on me, I just like, because I don't want like the idea of like them looking over me. Look, I just close my eyes and go, do what you want. I know I look like an idiot going, but it's like, close my eyes, don't matter.
Yeah.
Not listen to you.
So there was a new reaction. She kept saying, oh my God. When she first said it, I thought I had a tumor. No tumor, just a cockroach, which the first doctor had misidentified as dead skin cells. It took about 5 minutes for this doctor to get the cockroach out in pieces using a tweezer and suction device. It felt the pop as soon as the doctor pulled it away. It was instant relief. So obviously all his digging and all of his business had like killed and broken up this cockroach.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh, stop it. I was getting into bed one night there before Christmas and a bug ran across the floor and it kept me awake all night because I couldn't find where it went.
Oh, Jesus. Was it a big one, was it?
It was big enough for me to notice.
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know.
No, I had to go.
I don't like anything like, and also because Ireland, we have this thing probably everywhere, but like they always come out like in the autumn and winter here, earwigs.
Yeah,
and you know, of course, the thing is, oh, they want to get into your ear, like they just want to get somewhere dark,
yeah,
and moist and warm, don't we all? And you know, if your ear is the place where they get into it, then that's where that because they usually come in. Yeah, like if you're drying clothes outside, they usually come in on the clothes. Yeah. You know. But fuck insects. There's no reason for half of these insects to be alive.
Yeah.
You know. They should just be obliterated. FedEx should petition the FAA to have infrared missiles that can take out bugs.
Okay, now.
And earwigs.
Yeah. You're right.
I am right. I know. Thank you, Adam.
No, it's all right. Yeah, you're right.
I know. It's just not on. So next time you have an itch in your ear, check for something living.
I always feel like I have something in my right ear.
Well,
not something. I think it's just like wax, but it's just.
It's but like, you don't know though, there. Do you?
No.
It could be dead skin cells or a fucking cockroach.
Okay. You're all right. You're all right.
Yeah, I know. Just if there's anything ever in your ear, you know not to call me, don't you?
Absolutely. And, you know, if I'm ever stuck for anything, I will never call you.
I know, you can go, like, if you're stuck for weed. you can give me a show.
Oh, no. You know. Oh, my last bit.
No, it'd be more like, oh, dude, what's my weed? I have my weed.
Yeah, do you read? Yes. What can I have some? No.
No.
All right.
No. Although, look, if I was there and I had to pull a cockroach everywhere, I think I'd need weed after. So you could ask me for weed at that point and have weed to share.
No, I'll be fine. Just getting the cockroach out is fine. I don't need the weed. I love a shallow
okay,
skin.
Okay, well, you say that now.
No.
But
no, I love a shallow skin.
If I pulled out a wriggling earwig from your ear.
I'd be freaked out. I'd probably faint. I think I'd probably faint.
Yeah, I'd probably vomit and then pass out on you.
Fucking hell. Oh God. I'm going and sick and I'm mad at me.
Well, I did warn you and I'm going for a joint now. So yeah. All right. Next story.
So a woman sends herself drinks from admirers on first dates to show she has options. So when I saw it, it just bugged me. There was a million other stories around it and I went, God. So you have to like meeting this guy who's like, oh wow, what a pretty girl. And then she just sends herself drinks. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, someone else thinks you're attractive. Oh, you might have competition. Yeah. Like, fuck off then. So yeah. Sophia Franklin shared a TikTok video in which she explains her top tip for first date to make sure she hooks her suitor in and keeps his interest. So a woman has revealed her top tip for first date to ensure she keeps her man's attention, buying a drink for herself. Social media star Sophia Franklin shared a video on TikTok which she captioned, "Men love some healthy competition." In the video, she explained her first date trick, which makes him think she has other options. The plan is to trick the date into thinking that the other man has spotted her in the bar and sent her a drink to win her affections. That by a report, she wrote, when I go to the bathroom, I pay the bartender to send me an anonymous shot so my date remembers I have options. In the comments section, Sophia admitted that she isn't her only first date trick, explaining she also has sent herself flowers on one or two occasions. Yeah, this can work in my situation, in many situations. The world is your oyster, ladies. Since posting the video online, Sophia has racked up nearly 3 million views and hundreds of comments, with people suggesting that they were taking her advice for future. One TikToker said her idea was actually really smart, while others praised her for a queen move. Others talked to her, what? Yes? Go on.
No, I'm not interrupting you till the end. I always interrupt you, so I'm not going to interrupt you this time.
Others had the opportunity to confess they'd pulled similar stunts in the past, with one woman admitting she'd asked a man to come over to her table and tell her how pretty she was during the date. Another lucky woman said it had happened to her for real when someone genuinely sent her a drink, adding their date was left shaking. However, others weren't convinced it was a great idea and thought it would be too embarrassing to ask a bartender for help in advance. Some people even branded her stunt toxic, but most people thought there was no shame in it at all. So bartenders even said they would be happy to join in with the charade, bringing a drink over during a date if asked. One TikTok user replied, "As a bartender, I love when a woman does shit like this, and I'm more than happy to do it." Another joked, "As long as there was a tip in it for them, they'd have no problem doing their bit."
See, here's the thing, is that this only works on certain type of men.
Yeah.
And it works on the male equivalent of this female, which is narcissistic, self-involved, fucking morons. Now, if I was out on a first date with somebody and an anonymous drink turned up and it was a shot, I'd be like, what fucking twat? Like, because if you're on a date, it's different if, like, if the girl was at the bar and I sidled up to her and bought her a drink, and then some other guy at the other side of the bar saw me sidle up and was like, well, I can send over a drink as well. That's different because, you know, you weren't particularly out on a date. But if you go into a restaurant or a bar and you sit down with somebody and then somebody else sends over a drink, I'd just be confused as to
what's going on.
And I'd make shite of it with the girl. I'd be like, what fucking twat does that?
Yeah. I think I'd question it. I'd kind of go, oh, are you impressed by that? Do you think that's a good move? And I was like, would you go over to them if someone did that? I kind of go, why don't you fuck off then? Why don't you go over there and say hello?
I do have experience with this, similar. Now it wasn't, I didn't send myself drinks on a first date, but,
I just got hammered.
I had just started going out with my soon-to-be ex-wife.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd sent her stuff for Valentine's Day or whatever. And But then I got a phone call from her saying, oh, somebody else has sent flowers and chocolates and teddy bear and balloons and all this kind of stuff, but there's no name on it. And I went, oh, yeah.
That's nice.
That's nice. Well, it wasn't me. I don't know if she was waiting for me to claim credit for them,
yeah,
and then catch me out. But I didn't, because I'd already sent her stuff. So I was like, well, there's no name on it. No name on it. And like, I didn't ask if she'd been seeing somebody else or anything. It was just like, that's strange, isn't it? That somebody would do that. And she was like, yeah, I suppose it is. Yeah. I literally instantly took the wind out of her sails, because I didn't react in a jealous sense, because it was just like, that's strange. You know, if you're going to send all that stuff to somebody for Valentine's Day, you would put your name on it. Like, if you're going to do the whole, you know, romantic thing of it's a secret admirer and leave some clues as to who it is, and it's a single rose or a bunch of flowers, I suppose that might be cute.
Yeah.
But to go, like, you know, over the top, the whole shebang for everything, and then not put a name on it.
Yeah, or even, like, something that was a clue to who it was.
Yeah.
Like, teddy, chocolates and flowers is just kind of like... Is it a particular teddy? Is it like some kind of animal that you share an interest in, or you're talking about with someone? It's like, no, it's like, well, all right, you got free shit.
Yeah, you got free shit. And that's exactly what I said. I was like, well, you know, is it nice stuff? She said, well, it's a nice teddy and the chocolate's nice. I said, well, all right. Are you going to keep them? And the stuff never materialized. So either she got rid of it all, or it never happened in the first place.
Oh, and, God.
Well, literally, I never addressed it after that. So I was like, oh, well, fair play, double Valentine's Day. You know, maybe the reaction she was looking for, she didn't get.
Yeah.
You know, but, and I have seen, look, it's not that I've seen this happen, but I do know of a chef as well who would go in for an interview with different restaurants and different places. And while he was in the interview, he'd have one of his friends ring him and pretend to be a competing restaurant.
Ah, nice.
Who was dying to have this chef. And it was always complete bollocks. But he'd always be like, listen, I got to take the call, do you mind? And of course, the interview would be like, no, go on, go ahead. And go to a different part of the restaurant, but speak loud enough so that the chef could hear him.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, oh, listen, you know, I couldn't do it for any less than X amount an hour. And, you know, I'm actually currently interviewing with somebody else here at the moment. So, you know, it's basically going to be down to whoever gets me. You know, and he would job hop, like he'd spend 2 weeks in a place, they'd realize he was crap, and then he'd move on somewhere else. But that's how, like, he was the worst chef, and I think you know him as well. He was the worst chef, but he kept getting jobs in like high profile places using this tactic.
Fucking hell, I know him.
Yeah, well, you'd know of him anyway, you know, but I don't know if this would work. Like, if I was out on a date with somebody and somebody sent over an anonymous drink and it was a shot, like if it was like a glass of Prosecco or a cocktail, you might look around and go, who the fuck is sending you over a drink? But it's a shot. Like, who sends over a shot? Maybe that's what's done these days, and I don't know because I'm old.
Yeah, I know. Maybe girls like that. But yeah, it is. It's weird.
But it is. It's also toxic because, you know, I imagine what her TikTok response would be if she was out on a date and the man had drinks sent over from a female admirer.
Yeah.
You know, I imagine...
Who the fuck she thinks she is? She's not seen that he's with another woman.
Yeah.
I'm guessing she calls like that.
It's not a queen move. You know what the queen move is? Is to laugh at it and say, enjoy that shot, son.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you brought this drink to the wrong table.
Yeah. And the bartender's right. Like, I'll do it for the crack. You know, well, before I left the restaurant in Navan, there was a proposal. Did I tell you about this? This young guy had a table booked, and he had the note on the reservation as, I'm going to propose. So he called previously, like, can I bring the ring in early and can he do that? I said, yeah, look, we'll do whatever. And so did all the stuff he asked for. But then he asked me to bring the whole restaurant to attention. Right, which I was like, oh, that's cringy, and
don't do that. No.
So against my better judgment, I said, well, you know, he was like 20 or 21 if he was anything at all. Oh, so I was like, he was very young to be doing this. So it was a quiet kind of Thursday night. There was about a dozen tables in the restaurant, and So I said, ladies and gentlemen, can we have your attention, please? And because I just thought he was going to go down when he asked him to marry, ask her to marry him and then move on. But he went into this whole rehearsed thing and he made her stand out from the booth. And then he did the whole speech and it was obviously rehearsed and she knew what was going on as well. She'd obviously coached him.
Oh, God.
Made me record it. And as I couldn't help it because as I'm holding the phone to this proposal, I'm looking around the restaurant and everyone is collectively cringing.
Well, yeah, of course you would. I'd be like, when's this going to end? My food's getting cold. Or yeah. I just kind of keep it. I think I'd ignore it. I think I'd go, what's he doing? What's wrong?
Well, you see, because what happened was like,
no, I'm not listening.
Because for the first few seconds, everyone's like, oh, look what's happening. It's going to be a proposal. And it went on for literally like 2 minutes, which is a long time. So when I looked around and I couldn't help myself, I panned the camera around. And just as I did, I caught one woman at a table literally roll her eyes going, oh, that's it. And I caught that on camera. That's on his engagement video.
Fantastic. I'd be the same. I wouldn't listen. I'd go, can I have your attention, please? And I'd look to you as like maitre d' or whatever.
Yeah.
And let's say something. Okay, the man wants to say something. I've known this woman for 4 years. No, bollocks. Bollocks. Yeah, no, I'm not doing it.
It's terrible.
I think you'd hear me. Om, nom, nom, nom. this is delicious.
Yeah. He came in then, I was supposed to like email him the file or whatever and all that, and the video file, and it wouldn't work. And he came in then 2 days later and I couldn't get him out of the restaurant until I transferred the file to him because he couldn't figure out how to use technology.
It wasn't even his phone.
No.
Fucking
hell. He was using his phone because he had the little speech written out on his phone.
All right. Fucking hell. Would you mind recording it on your phone? It's like, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
Piss off.
And it was just, but there's no way he came up with this whole plan himself. Like this, the impression I got was she was either, you know, a wannabe Instagram influencer or model or whatever. Yeah. And because as soon as the ring went on, she ignored him completely and just spent the next 45 minutes on her phone.
Taking pictures of it, send it off.
Yeah, all that jazz. And he was left sitting there like, okay.
I'm getting paid later. My bit in this.
Yeah.
Like, fucking hell.
It's cringy, and it doesn't... Look, this whole thing of perception is reality and fake it till you make it, it only works in certain scenarios and certain parts of life, you know? Like, sending yourself drinks from other admirers. Like, if you haven't got anything to keep somebody's attention...
Yeah.
Don't try and fabricate something.
You're not worth it. You're saying already that you're not worth it.
Well, this is it, because like, and the impression she's given out, and look, this is probably, you know, experience of age on our part, in that, you know, you shouldn't need to big yourself up on a date. Like, I don't know what she's expecting. Like, is she going to be like, if the first date is a success and it goes on to, you know, date number two and onto a relationship, is she going to be expecting him to have these massive grand gestures of public affection all the time? And on the first day that her new suitor doesn't shower her with gifts and flowers and public attention, that, you know, he must be having an affair or he must be cheating or he's losing interest. And it's just like, you know.
Yeah. She obviously has nothing to bring to the table except a drink that she bought herself. And imagine if the guy goes, you know, I'm going to take care of the bill. She has to pay for that drink. So imagine if she says, can you just send a drink to the table? And like, it's on the tab, it's like, I didn't buy you a shot.
It's
like, oh, that must be a mistake. The bar must say, oh, I'll sort this. You go to the bar, like, sorry, I didn't buy you a shot. Oh, she did. What the fuck?
Because it could also backfire, right? Like, if the man said, oh, that's nice, look, somebody sends you a drink, excuses himself, goes to the bathroom, and on the way to or from the bathroom, swings by the bar and says, oi, bartender, you sent over that shot.
Yeah.
Now, you'd instantly judge by the bartender's reaction to go, oh, it was anonymous. No, point him out to me. Where is he? You know? And I don't think, she doesn't strike me as the kind of intelligent person to look around the bar or the restaurant and maybe check that there's other men there to begin with.
To the lesbian bar. Oh, come on, lesbian. Yeah.
No, she just look, but she's young and she's on social media, TikTok and Instagram, and obviously her profile picture is her in the bikini, which is,
of course,
you know, the most important thing.
Yeah, it really shows her sense of humor.
It's just,
I bet she's full of conversation.
Yeah, but look, yeah. Yeah, I bet she's gonna be sitting there the whole time, like checking her hair and her makeup and her and the light and her angles. And
not checking her, just pulling the two strands beside her cheeks down all the time, whatever that is. Yeah. I don't know what the hell that is. Just making sure they're good.
I know. In fairness, if I had hair, that's probably what I'd do with it these days.
I would not. just pulling those two down. Just hi and leaning. Am I good? I'm pretty for this particular, in this frame of life. It's like, oh, move on.
Hey, you're always pretty.
Thanks, man. I will move on.
Next story.
Yeah. Okay, a COVID positive woman. Ah, feeling flush. Yeah, that's good. Self-isolates in plain loo for 5 hours to protect other passengers and post her ordeal on TikTok. Now, fucking has to go on fucking TikTok, doesn't it?
Of course, everything is on TikTok.
Jesus. Shit, like. But I do feel for this woman, and I kind of admire it. So a woman who tested positive for COVID during a transatlantic flight self-isolated for 5 hours in plain toilet to protect other passengers. Michigan school teacher Marissa Fortio was traveling from Chicago to Reykjavik, Iceland on 20 December when her throat began to hurt. She took a rapid COVID test and she was carrying with her, and within what felt like 2 seconds, there were two lines. It's kind of like, why did you do the test?
You've got super COVID.
Like, just kind of go, I've got a bit of a sore throat, but I'll be fine. Give me a vodka.
Yeah.
She decided that to protect the other 150 passengers and crew on the Icelandair flight, she would lock herself away in one of the toilets for the remainder of the journey, and she captured the experience of confinement in a tiny loo in TikTok that was viewed by more than 3 million times. Oh, God. Shout out to Icelandair for my VIP quarantine quarters. Oh, God. This drives me fucking insane, that shit. Speaking to NBC News, Steve Patterson, she described it as a crazy experience. She told him, I just took my rapid test and I brought it into the bathroom. Within what felt like 2 seconds, there was two lines. There's 150 people on the flight. The biggest fear was giving it to them. Said she self-isolation was made bearable because of the care of the flight attendants, this guy. She made sure I had everything I needed for the next 5 hours, from food to drinks, and constantly checked on me, assuring me that it would be alright, Ms. wrote in an email. After arriving, maybe she had to quarantine in the hotel, but said she then, had her kindness didn't end. She brought me flowers and a little Christmas tree with lights so I could hang it. It was so heartfelt, and she's just an angel. So I like, and for one, I admire the kind of, and I'll just test myself, and you know what, to protect everyone, I'm just going to lock myself in this toilet. I'll explain to the crew. The whole TikTok thing pissed me off. But I just thought, God, why would you do that to yourself?
See, here's my thing is that she's on a 5-hour flight, so I'm assuming there's more than one bathroom on this plane.
Yes. I'd say there's at least four.
Okay. Now, ordinarily I wouldn't comment on somebody taking their phone to the bathroom because I assume most people do that.
Yeah.
But the airplane bathroom? How long do you plan on being in there for? Because she didn't plan on being in there for 5 hours until she took the test.
No, well, I'm guessing at least 4.5 hours.
But if you're going to the plane in the bathroom, do you expect you're going to be there for 4.5 hours? You're going to take your phone with you? Like, surely you could just leave your phone on the seat or wherever you were, instead of like, I'm going to bring, okay, so here's my plane bathroom checklist, my rapid COVID test, my phone, and other accoutrement. You know, maybe my makeup to make sure that, you know, that the shine isn't too bad on my face when I go on TikTok live.
I'm guessing, because it's a female, I'm guessing that she just carried it, like, everything on her. Like, it was a purse or whatever. Like, she just carried it with her, did the test, and was like, oh, fuck. Or maybe she did the test. Oh, no, she did. She went to the bathroom. Yeah, I guess she just brought everything with her as a just-in-case.
As a just-in-case.
I think this is the women's. They bring everything to the bathroom just-in-case.
I don't know. I mean, look, she is to be applauded for, you know, keeping herself isolated when she found out she was sick, because there was another thing last week, the week before, about a woman who was pictured texting somebody on her phone that she was on a flight with no mask on, saying, "Yeah, I'm positive, but I'm just gonna keep going because, you know, I'm just gonna keep going. Who cares? It's nobody's business."
Yeah.
So she's now screwed because they found out who she is just by the seating plan on the plane, you know.
Class.
See, you should never think you're the cleverest person in the room, because generally you're not. You know.
Preach.
I say that as somebody who regularly thinks he's the cleverest person in the room and abruptly finds out he's not. Even when I'm in the room on my own.
And the dog walks in. Oh, Jesus.
That dog understands the word sit. Oh, I'm hungry.
I've got to do that.
So, yeah, she should be, you know, commended for keeping herself isolated and for informing everybody and staying. But also, I mean, also, if you're isolated, it looks like she's wearing two masks. She's got three masks.
Three
on.
Masks, yeah. Yeah, super protective.
Yeah, look, I don't want to feed in any conspiracy theories here, but if the three masks didn't work beforehand, they're not going to fucking work when you are infected.
I have no comment on that. It's more so just the... She was willing to put herself in a bathroom, and all the crew went, "You know what, fair play to you, we'll look after her."
Yeah. I did that once on a train, except it wasn't COVID. It was explosive diarrhea. Didn't get nearly as many applause and commendations.
Oh, God. And, like, I don't know if anyone's actually had to sit down. Like, I think actually I usually sit down on a train toilet because it's so... And you're just, like, waving all over the place. So I actually do sit down. But I can imagine if I had explosive diarrhea, I'd be like, "Oh, my God. Ever just stop, please. Please stop."
I actually thought you were going to say, "I don't know if anyone's ever been on a train with Matt when he's got explosive diarrhea," but
it's awful. It's just awful.
It's awful for everybody concerned. Everybody. Here we go. Is that our stories?
That's it.
That's our stories. Well, shall we go on then and do some good news with me?
Just good news. In the time that this jingle plays, I'm going to get my dog a treat and be back in the seat. You ready?
One, two, three. Good news.
This is the part of the show where we talk about happy and chirpier stuff. There won't be stories about a pervert running around in a buff. So here's just a few things that we won't talk about in this segment. War and hunger, and the language won't be vulgar. Politics and naked chicks and men doing stuff with their dicks. So sit back, relax, and kick off your shoes. And for once, let's just have some good news.
You made it.
I did. I had to sing the tune to myself to keep me in time.
And you're so out of breath. You're so out of breath.
I was like, there's too many turns in my house.
I need some water. I need some.
I was like, who closed all the doors?
Okay, good news. Let's queue up a story then. Here we go. Right, so we'll do this. I'm just going to keep this little bit in. I won't edit this bit out just so people can know what I'm doing beforehand. So, good news. Okay, so we'll do that one. Click it up there, and then we go down here and we do that one, and then we'll come over here and we'll share this one, and then we do this one, and there we do. This is your story, isn't it?
No, that's your story.
What's your story?
That magic mushrooms are safe to treat mental health.
All right, I just assumed that was my story because there was magic mushrooms in it.
I love that you don't know your own story.
I don't know my own story. I put them all together last night, and then I was prepping the show today before we came on air, and I was like, "That sounds like my story."
that must be mine.
Genuinely had no recollection of either one of them, so that's why I was like, "Magic mushrooms must be mine," because I had the one last week about weed being great.
Yeah,
But I suppose we'll do my story, apparently.
Okay.
190-year-old Jonathan becomes the world's oldest tortoise ever.
Jesus.
Jonathan, world's oldest living land animal, has earned another Guinness World Record title. Celebrating his 190th birthday this year, Jonathan is now the oldest tortoise ever. His official record title is oldest Chelonian, a category which encompasses all turtles, terrapins, and tortoises. Jonathan has come through the winter well, as per an update from the St. Helena government. He grazes well now, but is unaware of food if he's simply placed on the ground. The veterinary section is still feeding him by hand once a week to boost his calories, vitamins and minerals and trace elements, as he is blind and has no sense of smell.
God.
He doesn't want to be alive. If he could speak, he'd say, let me die.
He'd go, kill me. Kill me now. I'm like, no, Jonathan, you're going for another year.
There's nothing this turtle hasn't seen.
Jeez, 190 years. 190 years.
190, like, and he can't smell, he can't see. They're just shoveling food into this thing that just is no longer for this world. And here's the thing which annoys me about this, right?
Yeah.
He's in the Guinness Book of World Records, which is, you know, the governing body on world records, I think we can all agree.
Yeah, I'd say so. I think.
But then this next sentence says, Jonathan is believed to have been born in 1832. No official record.
Ah, oh, no. I was going to say, 1832. Like, the shit he's lived through.
Jonathan's age is an estimation based on the fact that he was fully mature and hence at least 50 years old when he arrived in St. Helena from the Seychelles in 1882. In all likelihood, he's even older than we think. But we don't know. Get him out of fucking Guinness Book of World Records. Otherwise, I'll go in there and go, it's believed that I ran the world speed land record yesterday. So stick me in the Guinness Book of World Records.
But see, to do that, you'd need someone adjudicating that.
Apparently not.
No, you would.
Well, then I can say that I'm 191 years old. Because it's believed that when I landed in St. Helena, I was at least 50.
You're shitting all your good news story.
I am, aren't I? It's not really a good news story. It's not the fucking shit fest that we've had so far. So that's why I brought it in, apparently. I can't remember. Honestly thought this was your story.
You're shitting at him story. It's bollocks. Oh, it's my own.
I was trying to edit last week's show, which only came out yesterday because my laptop took so long to render everything. When I was trying to put all the text together for it, I was trying to remember what the stories were and I couldn't remember what we'd spoken about.
I never do.
Said, Fiona said, I said, is it bad that I can't remember the stories that we did? And all I got back was, it's not great. I'm like, well, you know. There we go.
Oh, God.
Can't remember literally anything we've said just a few days after we said it. But that's always been the case.
Yeah. We talk a lot of rubbish.
A lot of rubbish. Anyway, so that's my good news story. Apparently. we go on now and we'll do your good news story.
Yeah. So, this story, I suppose, will be for you. Magic mushrooms are safe to treat mental health conditions, says another landmark trial. So a trip to the doctor for a dose of magic mushrooms could help treat mental health conditions like PTSD, according to new research. Small doses of psychedelic drug, psilocybin. Thank you, you junky scum. Mm-hmm. Found in magic mushrooms are not only good...
That's the most honest thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Not only good at easing disorders that are resistant to treatment, but they also have no short or long-term side effects in healthy people, scientists say. In a study led by that institute at King's College, London, researchers have found that the drug can be safely administered in up to 6 patients using doses of 10 milligrams or 25. Let's skip on. Psychedelic is the first of its kind to go head-to-head with traditional, often ineffective treatments on the market. Although early research has hailed the mushroom as a promising treatment, no human trials have ever been conducted until now. The trial is the first of its kind, thoroughly investigative magic of the mushroom. Researchers use a sample on 89 participants who use psilocybin. Is that right?
Psilocybin.
Within a year, and recruited to take part in the trial, and they randomly picked 6 people who people to receive either a dose of 10 or 25 milligrams in a controlled lab environment, and then of course there was people who took a placebo. And during the time, they were assessed to track the number of possible changes, including sustained attention, memory, planning, as well as their ability to process emotions. The rigorous study is an important first demonstration of the simultaneous administration. But basically, it says positive things came from it.
Well, my own personal experience with mushrooms is I've done them twice now.
Yes.
And I still have... No, I haven't done them. I've done them 3 times. I still have one dose left in the house here somewhere. And positive effect on me that I've noticed is that... I don't know if it's positive or not, but I used to be able to just watch, say, a movie or a TV show.
Yes.
Regardless of what the subject matter, and just watch it as a piece of entertainment.
Yeah.
Whereas now, when it's emotional, I seem to start getting a bit choked up. Because it's not that I forget that I'm watching something, but I'm like, that's really sad.
You're invested in it.
I'm invested in it. I went to see Spider-Man No Way Home in the cinema yesterday.
Oh, right. Excellent.
I'm not going to spoil anything.
I know everything.
There's a couple of like really well done emotional beats and scenes in the movie, and one of them actually choked me up. And then I was like, "What the fuck is going on?"
Hello.
That only started since I'd done the mushrooms. So maybe it is a healthy way to process emotions instead of just sitting there like a robot absorbing information.
I'd say so.
But yeah, it's kind of maybe more. Well, not more. It's not like I'm a completely changed man, but it certainly has made me a little bit more compassionate and empathetic towards, you know, emotions and scenarios and situations and stuff.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a positive thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say so.
So that's my personal experience, and I haven't done enough to like make me hallucinate. I haven't done that level of stuff, but it's like a really intense kind of feeling, like as if I was really stoned from weed. That's the only way I can explain it.
Yeah, you're saying we say it doesn't last as long.
Doesn't last as long. I don't really like the come down off it. The come down off it is like it's. I can only describe it as like the early stages of like an alcohol hangover. So it kind of leaves you groggy. Kind of get like cloudy head after it. That doesn't last for hours, but you know, it's the only way I can describe it is like an alcohol hangover. It's like, you know, I suppose being drunk is great because you're merry and you're having a great time, but you got to deal with it in a few hours later. You know what I mean? But I still prefer it to alcohol. I just have gone off alcohol kind of more or less recently. But yeah, there you go. That's my experience with it.
Huh. Well, there you go. Sorry, I can't remember the story. But yeah, it's like obviously look into it. Now I'm sure when it gets to a stage that it's like, actually this is really, really cheap. All the pharmaceutical companies are going to go, for fuck's sake.
But it is really cheap. Like all this stuff. Look, I think it does warrant more research. But I think there's research being done around the world that we can look at. But obviously, governments and health bodies will want to do their own research.
Yeah.
But you know, the likes of weed and mushrooms, people have been taking them for centuries, for millennia.
Yep.
And you know, that was before they did proper psychological and scientific tests. You know, so once you put that together with the tests you're all doing, just going, hey, get there and get some shrooms, get some weed, if you want to, and try it out, you know. But I'm biased. We all know I'm biased about that kind of stuff. But hell yeah. But yeah, that's all good. There is more research coming out that, you know, weed and psychedelics in small doses.
And all these natural kind of... grown things, plants and weeds and mushrooms and fungus, that there's probably a place for them in the future of medicine.
Yeah, and just, you know, hey, what you want to do? I want to get fucked up. I don't want to have to go and meet a guy in a car park to get some weed.
Yeah.
You know, much prefer to be able to walk into a shop like an off-license and just be able to buy stuff legally.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll get there. We'll see.
Someday.
That's the story, isn't it?
That's it. That's me.
That's it. Well, then, I suppose, where can people find us, Adam?
Best is find us at www.thenewsburp.com for all the links to our shows. At the bottom of the page, you'll find links to Patreon. And at Patreon, www.patreon.com/newsburp, you'll find links to the show, links to our links to our extra stuff, which is our top five, our Florida Mans, and for different tiers, you get different things. So you get ad-free versions of the show, to show the video of the show earlier, and then a week later comes out, but not the Patreon stuff that we video. And we're also on YouTube and Rumble. And Twitter is the best place to get in touch with us because we're not on any other social medias. So at NewsBurp, Twitter.
At NewsBurp on the Twitters. Yeah, there we go. And of course, on Patreon, you get your mentions. The shout outs go to Kevin Fagan, Aaron Eldred, Fiona Cleary, Nathan Peterson, Paul Blunson, Sean Ryan, and Alexander Hendry. Thank you so much for your support, regardless of what tier you're on. Please do lie to your friends about how good of a podcast we are and get them to sign up and listen to. Leave us a review, whatever app you're listening to, a lovely 5-star review, and oh my god, you're so big, it'd be amazing.
That'd be lovely.
And yeah, that's pretty much it. This is episode 282. We've been going for, are we in our 7th year?
94 years.
This podcast is older than that fucking turtle we were just talking about.
Are we going 7 years?
I think it's 7 years. I think it was 2015 we started, wasn't it?
Jesus! 7 years!
Was it 7 years? Could be 7 years, because we generally do about 40 to 45 episodes a year, because we lose, you know, a few weeks around Christmas time.
Yeah.
But I think it's 7 years. Yeah.
Fucking hell. There you go.
And we have at least a listener per year. So, you know, we're doing well.
Excellent.
Yeah. But thanks so much for listening. We're going to have to do our Patreon now. So do check out patreon.com/newsburp. Of course, as well, all the Patreon names are scrolling across the bottom there in the video. As you can see, they're scrolling along the bottom here. They're down here. There we go. You can get your name scrolling across on a news style ticker, huh? Like they do on the CNN fake news show. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and thanks for watching. Thanks for subscribing and reviewing and supporting us, all that kind of stuff. We really, really do appreciate it. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.